Magic button,
Well,
and we should be live.
and we have to confirm that. Good evening, young lady.
Good evening. How are you feeling?
Elated because we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes,
But
definitely.
slightly deflated because it's been an incredibly long day.
Yes.
You know,
Were
you
you and me
saw.
both?
Yeah, you saw me dancing around. No, you didn't see me dancing around at 5 o'clock in the morning. But that's when I
No.
started. That's when I started hopping around like a yo-yo. And then we met, what, day 15 or something like that. And then you did your
Yes.
stuff, I did my stuff, and now it's 12 hours later. You're still wearing the same clothes as you did this morning, as am I. So.
We kind of match black and do you have a red line?
I have it's a
White, red
it's.
and white.
We're talking is because it's in tomorrow's pineapple. So we're talking about blue again. So it's a navy blue with some
Oh.
red and white stripes. Not like
Okay. I have white and red and pink and black.
I actually like that. You've worn that a couple of times. I kind of like that, the roses on there.
Thank you. Yes.
And
And
but
he has the
then
roses on the sleeves.
exactly that's what makes it so unusual because I thought you were sort of wearing like a cardigan and then you wore that when you went to your grandmother's place.
Yes.
And I could,
Yes.
and then I thought, wow, that looks totally different to when I see you, because all I see is the shoulders and your head.
Just the shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I thought, oh wow, this looks really nice. So
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to the Wonder Woman t-shirts for our Spud meetings.
Yes. I have a Batman and Wonder Woman and another Batman shirt that I stole from my husband.
You stole from
I
your
have a
husband.
yes, I have a Captain America one.
Okay.
So maybe
Okay.
I can change them.
I was thinking, you know, when I do actually head in your direction, was thinking if your husband would like a French rugby shirt to wear at an international game.
That would be interesting. I don't know if he'll do it.
What a chicken.
I think so too.
Especially, oh, speaking of which, so we're totally digressing, but this I wasn't actually aware that the Springboks are playing in New Zealand this weekend. So they hopped across the Atlantic, no, what is it, the Indian Ocean and
Yes.
across that funny thing called Australia, that insignificant piece of territory down at the bottom of the corner there. Thank you, Monica. Do you have any idea when they're playing on the weekend on Saturday?
Kickoff, I think, is at 5 again. I'm not sure.
Oh, I wonder what time it is. What time it is in the, it must be about.
Let's check.
Okay.
I had it open earlier, but I didn't check the times.
Keep talking while you're checking your mobile because I don't want to edit this part out.
No, you don't have to. So I'm going to actually put you in the hot seat. I
Oh
know you
God.
have some questions prepared, so I'm going to let you start.
Oh, this is so unfair.
That's nice.
Oh, I see. So you're are you are you oh God, I was kind of hoping that I could, you know, formulate the question because for once I don't actually know how to formulate the question. So
Okay.
can you
Okay.
explain, no, explain the rules,
Yes.
explain the rules, because some of these poor listeners of ours are probably going, oh God, these two are at it again.
Maybe let's start with the topic, what we are going to talk about.
You know, that
That
would be a really
would
good
be great.
idea, Theo.
Yes.
So good
Okay.
afternoon, good evening, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Mayor and Fruit Loop. Fruit Loop is hosting yet another wacky show.
Yes.
And
We don't know what we are going to talk about.
story of our lives, if you ask me.
No, actually, we do know. We are going to do another role play scenario. So previously, we did a role play for lunch when we spoke about a zookeeper that had to contain a lion that escaped. And the other one was,
It was a used car salesman
oh yes, used car salesman
and a pilot,
and a pilot, yes.
where
One of the
two
engines
engines failed.
failed. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So we are going to do another role play, but this time with different scenarios, different jobs. Okay, so
We're going to increase the tension here. Do, do, do,
yes,
do, do,
increase
do.
the tension. Drum roll. So there's actually no rules. There's just a way that I do it. I choose a job, I create a scenario, and then you have to solve this problem.
Okay, all right. So, okay, so thank you. Now you've given me the segue. Am I still allowed to start? Because I'm dying for this one.
Okay.
Think nuggets.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Think nuggets.
Okay, nuggets.
And there was a bit of a problem. Well,
Problem. Okay.
there's a lot of problems with nuggets.
Are you talking about the real chicken or the food nuggets?
Well, I still hope he's a real chicken.
He's a real chicken, yes.
And what were you expecting?
A hen, of course. And eggs.
Bacon and eggs, yeah. Every morning, 1.5 eggs every day, yeah, or every 2 days or
Yes.
something like that,
Yes.
yeah. Okay, I never forget the 1.5 eggs. It didn't quite come out that way, did it?
No, it didn't.
So, there's actually a job.
Okay.
That determines the gender of a chicken.
Yes.
So, don't you think it would be a good idea to do that in a pet shop? So, imagine you were a professional. Now, the job title here is called a chicken sexer.
Okay.
So, your job is to be a chicken sexer to determine the gender of a chicken.
Okay.
Go for it.
Go for I know there's a couple of pointers that they actually check, or they look at when they have a batch of chicks. So, first of all, they will check for the comb. If they are very small chickens, they can see a part of the comb. If
Okay.
it's a rooster, or if it's going to be a rooster or a hen. And then they also check underneath its beak, for the, I don't know what you call it in English now. It has those two pieces at the bottom. I don't know what you call it. Not even Afrikaans.
So
Okay, but you check on the head for the comb, and then you check at the bottom if you can see anything that resembles what a rooster would look like. Usually the hens don't have any of this. They don't have the comb, they don't have the things at the bottom of their beaks or neck, whatever you would call it. And then sometimes it depends on the type of chicken, but sometimes you can look at the tails. The tails are shaped differently, but it depends on the breed of the chicken. So there's some chicken farms that if you order chicks from them, they already split them. So these ones are the roosters, these ones are the hens. If you want to buy 100 hens, they send you the chicks. Hens. And they hardly ever make mistakes. So I don't know how we could have mistaken rooster for hen.
Well, you didn't. You didn't. You were the innocent
I
bystander.
didn't. I wasn't there.
Do
I
you
wasn't there.
think, I mean, hindsight is a wonderful thing. Do you think that had you actually gone to the pet shop yourself, this unfortunate development may have been avoided? Because.
Maybe. Because when they first came with nuggets, I thought it looks like a rooster, but let's see. I had my suspicions, and I don't know if you remember, I did tell you.
Very little that I forget.
So maybe if I saw nuggets with brothers and sisters, I could have said, well, no, that is not a hen.
Okay. Wow, I'm impressed. Is there anything you don't know?
Probably.
Because you gave me zero preparation time for this evening. Apparently there's a, I'm actually no expert, but I'm just because I saw this and I thought, well, this has got to be, I mean, you know, nuggets, the story of the nuggets and the spoon is finished,
Yes,
is over with by
that's a
now,
good
but
idea.
end of discussion. But this thing just keeps cropping up.
Yes.
And I'm going to actually start with the, with the enormous amount of money that some people can earn. I mean, I've got a price here. Salaries can be between 40 and 60,000 euros per year.
Wow.
I mean, we're in the wrong job. Some
Exactly. Let's go identify chickens.
Well, it's not that easy.
No, it's not that easy.
But hang on just a minute, and sometimes you can earn more for experts who travel internationally. But can you imagine?
Wow.
Can you imagine they're going through customs and immigration at an airport and they ask, what's your job? I'm a chicken sexer. Do you like to step to one side, please?
Yes.
It's like mind-blowing. In
Yes.
some countries, farms even fly in Japanese experts to train locals. I mean,
Wow.
weird. So,
That is weird.
let me fill you in on this. Okay, so, reading here, actually, no, yeah, a chicken sexer is a trained professional who determines whether a newly hatched chick is male rooster or female hen, usually within a few seconds. Per chick.
Well, it would take me about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe.
Well, had we not, had you not, you know, had you done this, we would have been out of a story, but that's a different thing.
Yes.
And it's used in commercial egg production because hens,
Yes.
they do all the work. And roosters just bloody nuisance, really. And sexing helps farms quickly sort out the chicks for the correct purpose. So just like you said, sort of big boxes, 100 chicks, yeah, go forth. Now, the
Yes.
interesting thing is that this is actually quite a new job, and it comes from Japan. It was developed in the 1920s,
Okay.
and so I presume these two things that are dangling under the beak
Yes.
or the I'm not an expert. I don't know if this is true, but it may be called the cloaca or the vent, and they spot microscopic differences in the reproductive organs. Okay, now,
Okay.
okay, there you go. The irony of it is it requires intensive training, 3 years of apprenticeship to get fast and accurate. I mean, okay, you know, what is there to see? Either it's there or
Yes.
it's not.
Yes. Well, living on a farm, I kind of know that it's there or it's not. And if the chick is a couple of days old, or maybe a little bit older, it's easier to spot.
Okay, but probably too late then. I don't know.
It depends what you use the chickens for, but for
Okay.
us, it didn't really matter. We just
Okay.
wanted the babies to grow up.
Okay. And a skilled chicken sesser can get this. He can check or she can check up to 1,000 chicks per hour with greater than 95% accuracy. I mean, what a job.
Wow, that's a lot of chickens.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then we have genetically engineered chickens, so they've got female and male slightly different wing
Yes.
feather growth. That works as well. And then there's something called in ovosexing, detecting the sex before hatching via genetic or hormonal tests.
Oh dear.
Yeah. And that could replace human sexes and reduce ethical issues of culling male chicks, etc. So anyway, so. Yeah, there you go. So, 40 to 60,000 euros a year. International travel brings it up. You do 1,000 chickens an hour. You look for what's there and what's there.
90% success rate, so you
90,
miss a
90.
hundred.
Yeah. So the other one's probably an androgynous chicken here and doesn't quite know. I identify myself as a male, even though I'm a female. Yeah. But you mentioned the comb of the rooster.
Yes.
Couple of years ago, I was doing a project with one of my outside breeder clients, and we wrote a story. And we came across a recipe that you can actually eat the comb.
Okay.
Now you say you've done that as well, yeah?
No, I haven't.
But.
I've heard about it. I don't know if it was my grandparents who did it, but they like to eat the chicken legs.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. My
Okay.
grandmother cleans them and then she cooks them. I don't know how she does it, but they like to eat the chicken legs
Have you ever tried
or
them?
chicken feet. I did, but I was too young to remember what it actually tastes like. But it's
Okay.
more just bone and nothing else.
Chicken. Would you try it now? I mean, how adventurous are you?
I would try it, but if my
Mm-hmm.
grandmother cooks it, not if somebody else makes it,
Okay.
because it's kind of a traditional food for some cultures
It's
in
Chinese.
South Africa.
Oh, okay.
Yes, here as well for Zulu, Sotho, Tswana, they call it
Okay.
runaways.
All right. Okay. I wonder why. Hey, those legs are mine.
Runaways.
Anyway, so there you go. Maybe something for your son to work towards. Good pay, 60 grand a year. Goes well in South Africa, I would say. Goes well anywhere.
Well, today he actually said that he wants to be a vet.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Put him in the chicken field
Close
and
enough.
close enough. Yeah. There you go.
He's our retirement plan.
Exactly.
That
Okay, so there you have it. That came up, and I immediately had to think of you lot down there, and of course the world famous Nuggets. Is he well?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very well.
Still.
Shouted early this morning.
Did he? Hasn't been shot yet. Yeah. Shut up, you
Not
bloody rooster!
yet. No, not yet. Also, no complaints yet.
Okay. Well, they probably won't because they probably say, God, this chicken, this rooster's going to attack me. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway.
And they don't know how tame it is.
Yeah, walks into the house. Give me my dinner.
No, doesn't he ask for dinner? Eats the dog food.
It's a dog food. Oh, strange animal. Okay, what have you got?
Okay, you are going to be a skydiving instructor.
You've got to be kidding.
No, I'm serious. So this actually came from a Facebook post that I saw. They were talking about military parachutes and so on, but that's besides the point. So you are the skydiving instructor, and mid-jump, suddenly the student starts to panic because the main parachute doesn't open. You have to stay calm, give clear instructions, and guide them to safety. What would you do?
Don't panic! Don't panic!
Yeah, don't panic.
It's all under control, I hope. Have never been in such a situation. I have no intention of ever being in such a situation.
Yes, me neither.
What would I do? The main parachute. Okay. Whose main parachute? Mine?
Student,
The
the
student.
student, yes, you are okay. The student's main parachute doesn't want to open.
Well, I find that a bit strange. Well, not that the parachute's gone on strike because it wants better working conditions and won't open, but normally the student would be attached. If it's the first jump, the student would be attached to the instructor.
Yes, that's called a tandem jump.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that I'm in the tandem jump, and that if his parachute goes on strike, at least mine should open.
Okay.
And I might even hazard a guess that there is a backup parachute somewhere.
Okay.
So that if the big one doesn't want to do anything, the second one will jump in, and you might come down with a hard bump and a couple of broken bones, but you'll live to tell the story somehow. Which in the other case is somewhat unlikely, unless you land on a giant trampoline, you go up and down like a yo-yo.
That only happens in cartoons.
Well, aren't they real? I thought cartoons were based on fact.
Maybe,
Yeah.
maybe.
I'm clinging for grasping at straws here. So that would be my educated guess. I would also say it's actually a fairly rare occurrence, but
Yes.
bloody scary if it does happen.
Yes.
I mean, do they wear
Yes.
Pampers or anything like that? Because
No.
I would be.
I think they have clean shorts at the
What, air dried, yeah?
I don't know. I don't plan to find out.
Anyway, so yeah, something along the lines of, well, if they're in a tandem jumping, I suppose if they're not tandem jumping, I suppose you can actually try and steer, the instructor could try and steer the parachute by pulling one strap harder, so that you can try and maneuver the parachute and make your way closer to the poor guy, the poor sod who's having a bit of a problem.
Well, he's free falling, so you have to go down as well.
I've got to be as quick as he, and the parachute blocks that. So, and cutting off my own parachute would be counterproductive, wouldn't it? Wouldn't do us
Yes.
it and wouldn't do us any good. I'd probably shout. Anything you want me to say to your mum? Because you are going down. Tell me.
So the man that I used to cycle with, he was a skydiving instructor for many, many years. So this is a serious situation, but like you said,
Really?
it's a yes. But like you said, it's a rare occurrence. It doesn't happen that often. So most of the time for the parachutes, they have the main parachute and they wear a reserve parachute. So your guess was correct as well. Especially if they are learning to jump. So they have the main parachute and they have a reserve. And if the main parachute fails, if the student pulls it and it fails, then the instructor will have to give or shout instructions. They have to pull an emergency lever that lets, or emergency handle that lets the main parachute detach. So you leave it completely, it falls, doesn't want to open, and then you can pull the reserve handle. Hopefully, it opens. So with the modern gear, it's less likely to happen. A lot of them do have a reserve chute, but they don't have to open it, or they hardly ever use it. So if the procedures are followed, the students should be safe. But also what happens if they jump out of the plane, if it's not a tandem jump, they will hold hands. So the instructor will hold hands with the student, jump out until you reach a certain height, and then pull the chute. The student has to pull first. So if the student pulls first and it doesn't work, the instructor can still talk to them and say, okay, you have to do this now. Detach the one, pull the reserve. And if that doesn't work, hopefully the instructors work so the instructor can kind of pull them into a tandem jump.
Why would you want to be a parachute or skydiving instructor?
Well, I don't know. He had a lot of hobbies. One of them was skydiving, so he decided to become a skydiving instructor. He loved his motorbike. I think he had three motorbikes. Then it was the cycling. He also had three different bicycles. And he had his own business. He's retired now, but he had his own business.
Are we talking about
They
the same?
did
Are we talking about the same person who sent the picture of a couple of weeks ago?
the old man.
Yeah, I've forgotten his
Yes,
name. Okay, right,
Roy. His name is Roy.
Roy, yeah, okay.
Yes. So I think he and his brother, or he and his, no, I think it's his brother, they had their own business. The business is still running, even though he's retired. But he's done a lot of crazy things. He's a very adventurous person.
I mean that there is a a philosophy behind it. I used to have a student here a couple of years ago, and hang on, there's a cat that wants to get out. Where did you come
Sorry.
from? Hang on a minute. Like mushrooms in this house. I had this student a couple of years ago, 18-year-old kid. He did gymnastics and he wanted to be a almost a semi-professional gymnastics sportsman.
Yes.
And he and his father went to the south of France and they went bungee jumping in
Yes.
Europe's longest bungee jump, which is about 180 meters or something like that.
Okay.
And he came back and he showed me a video. It's in the archives somewhere. And I said, no way. No way. But he said, well, I said, how do you do it? Well, first of all, I do gymnastics, so I know what it's like. But
Yes.
B, you just have to trust the equipment and the people.
Yes.
That is the foundation. If you do not trust them,
Yes.
then you just do not go forward. Yeah.
So that kind of reminds me when my husband and I went on honeymoon. We went to the coast, Durban side, and there's a very nice place there between the mountains. They have bungee jumping and all kinds of things, but they have a zip line. So there's 14 lines that go down, very high to very low. And I am afraid of heights. So I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to do this zip line, but I chickened out when I saw how high it was, and I said, no, I'm not going to be in the middle of the canyon and I can't get down. I'm going to freak out. So I backed out. I said, no, I'm not doing this. And then for a couple of years, I regretted that. I really, really regretted not doing it. So I knew what was my reason, but I regretted not doing it. And then when my husband and I went there, I said, well, we have to go to this place. We have to do the zip line. It was my idea. And he was game for it because he wants to skydive and he wants to bungee jump and he wants to do all these crazy things. So we went, we paid, we did the training. They give you like a crash course, how to stop, how to go.
Not a good word in this sense.
No, not a good word, but they give you a short instructional video.
Oh, I see. In the case of an accident, oh, panic!
And then off we went. And the first one was okay because you were still above the ground, just like a practice round, and then you started going down. Cross the canyon from the one side to the other side and down all the way. And I think the first one was the longest, and I was super scared. And then one of the other ladies came. She was standing, or there was two ladies who went down with us, but they were the crew, the part of the crew. So the one came, she hooked onto the next one, and she jumped off. She jumped off and she bounced a couple of times and then she went like super fast. I was like, oh my dear, how? I went slowly, carefully. She trussed those lines with her life. And then later, we came to one point. So one would go in front, then my husband, then me, and then the other one behind me. So when we stopped at the one point, I took my phone and my husband and I took a selfie, and they said, oh no, we'll take photos. They take photos. She took my phone and she was making videos. She held my phone. I don't know how many feet above ground. She was making videos of us coming down on the zip line without dropping my phone. My word. I was more scared for the phone. But it was a great experience. I loved it, and I will do it again.
Okay.
But I won't bungee jump, and I don't know about skydiving.
Maybe zip line. I mean, I've seen a couple of videos about zip line. It kind of looks good, but you always sort of have this, you're close, you're relatively close to the ground, but going across a canyon or a valley, I don't know. I don't know.
I still have some. I will check if I have the videos on my phone, but I do have the pictures. I do
Wow.
have some pictures. Yes.
I mean, when a fun fair comes to town or anything like that, you see all these rides and so on, and the roller
Oh no,
coasters,
it's not for me.
and apart from the fact that they are outrageously expensive, and they've all been, they are security controlled, and the officials come in and double check everything, et cetera, but no
Yes.
way. I think my most terrifying experience was in the United States, somewhere in Florida, some fun. I think it was the Epcot's Future Park or something like that. I don't know what it's called. And
Yes.
you could simulate a space flight.
Okay, that's
And that,
interesting.
well, the simulation space flight was nothing more than a roller coaster in total darkness.
Oh no.
And I said,
That sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think all my blood got sucked out, my brains got sucked out. I think my entire body just sort of like decompressed, and I sat in the front of this thing, so there didn't have anybody in
Oh
front of
no.
me. Yeah, and you just do not know where you are going because it's just like, and a minute can feel an awful long
Yes.
time.
Yes.
Anyway.
That reminds me of our theme park. So it's called Gold Reef City, and it is located where one of the old gold mines in Johannesburg used to be. So they have this one ride. I've never been on it, and I will never go on it. My husband has been on it. I think my sister has been on it. Friends, that's fine. So it pulls you up, and then on the top, it goes over and it goes straight down. So you can see a bit of it go down, and then it goes underground. You can hear
Lovely.
it underground in the dark. That's a big no-no for me.
A bit
There's
squeamish,
a
aren't we?
for those for heights, and I don't like going upside down, and I've been to this theme park a lot. There's a lot of rides that I like, and I like to do them, and Aiden likes them as well. My father used to take us there. We never did the scary things. And was it not last year, the year before? I went with my husband and my sister-in-law, her husband, and it was only Aiden was somewhere else, but we went there on New Year's. So it was quiet. It was actually very nice. And then they took me on the roller coaster for the first time. I was always too scared to do it, and I did it once, and I decided never again. I hated it.
Yeah. I mean, theme parks, they're a world of their own. And
Yes.
my first marriage had sort of disintegrated, and my then wife moved with our daughter to Dublin, and I moved to Germany, and we still sort of tried to keep up a little bit of a communication and relationship. And I was staying with some friends in Belgium, and I don't quite know how what her side of it was, but we decided we would meet at Euro Disney just outside of Paris.
Okay.
And I don't really like theme parks. Yeah,
Yes.
not my thing. And I said to my friend, you know, okay, so it's a 90-minute train ride from Brussels to Paris, high speed link. I said, you know, I won't be late. You know, a couple of hours, you know, 90 minutes. Brussels, Paris, metro out to Euro Disney, couple of hours there, and then hop back home, and I'd be home by, you know, or in the hotel we were staying in by, I don't know, late afternoon.
Yes.
Wrong.
Long day at Disney.
You cannot say no when your own kid starts going haywire because she sees her favorite Disney character, you know.
Yes.
And I think I made it back to Brussels. I think I must have gotten the last train from Paris to Brussels.
Oh.
And I think I got back into the into and I wasn't even staying in Brussels. I was staying Oh, staying. So he had a house, quite a fair distance outside of Brussels. So I think, so I must have parked the car in near the station, and then I had to drive probably another 30, 40 kilometers to get to his place.
Yes.
I think I got a tongue wagging, not by this family, but by somebody else I was with. Anyway, it was, you know, do not underestimate the power of a theme park, especially if it's Disney. The kids just go
Yes.
haywire, and you just spend a fortune.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm going to give you
Yes.
And this is, you have to listen very carefully.
Oh, wait, before you start, I just want to add something about the parachutes. I wanted to mention that earlier. Each person who jumps, each skydiver has to fold and pack their own parachute. So
Yes.
if it doesn't open, it's their fault. So the idea came from a video that I saw on social media where they said that in the army, other people were responsible for folding the parachutes, and they actually had to write a name on it to be accountable for this parachute. But there were so many made-up names and fake names that they could never trace it back if a person fell or the parachute didn't open. So that was interesting. I just wanted to add that. So that's where my idea came from.
Excuse me, I actually heard, I'd heard about that, that you
Yes.
are responsible for packing and folding your own parachute because if it
Yes.
goes wrong, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Still doesn't mo this still does not motivate me to even
No, me neither. No,
contemplate
it's
doing
okay.
this, yeah. All right, just leave it there.
Yes.
Other hobbies are available. Do not try
Like
this at home.
painting. Painting and reading in the garden is fine.
Speaking of which, I'd like some art therapy this weekend, please.
Okay, I have an idea.
I'm sure you do. Right. My job, you have to listen carefully. I give you two. It's a dream job.
Oh, okay.
It's a dream job. The pay, not as good as the chicken thingy.
Okay.
For your dream job, between 80 euros and 2,000 euros plus, depending on the length, the conditions of this job.
Okay.
But it's your dream job.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. Can you guess what this is?
My dream job or your dream job?
No, I'm doing my dream job, so it can't be in
Maybe it's my past dream job to be a lawyer.
way, way off center, way too cold. Think of the title, your dream job. The clue is in the title. I think you've been fooled.
Yes, you have.
Two words. That's all it is, dream job. And one of those words is the clue.
I'll stick with being the Fruit Loop and breeder.
So I'm glad you like that and appreciate the gesture. I'm not going to let you off the hook. Dream job. There are two words.
Well, it can be that it is my real dream job that I really want to do, or it can be a job that I do in my dream. Or maybe like a sleep therapist or something.
Now we're getting
Okay.
closer. Now we're getting closer.
Like a sleep therapist or hypnotherapist or
No,
something.
no, no, no. I mean, what would you, what would somebody, your husband or your family say? Well, just imagine that. That somebody, you meet somebody, you never met them before, and one of the standard opening questions is, well, what do you do?
Yes.
And you answer, I'm a professional sleeper.
Oh, Isn't there something like that exists in China or Japan or someplace?
I kid you not. No, they pay you for sleeping on the job.
Oh, wow.
No, don't even consider
No.
it.
I'm not good with sleeping.
Or maybe this might be something for you because you would have to go to a sleep laboratory and take part in sleep studies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And get paid for that.
You get paid for that. I mean, there'd be a couple of thingies there. I mean, just looking at the screen
I can think of people I'm going to take with, my husband and my son included.
Now, now.
The one is always tired, the other one never wants to sleep. I'm stuck in between. It's good study.
Okay. So why do we have these? Why do, and this is the interesting part. I would love you to do this actually, because they would monitor your heart rate, okay, standard.
Yes.
They would monitor your breathing,
Yes.
standard. They would monitor the movements to study, just insomnia, sleep apnea, and
How many? Yes.
narcolepsy. Yeah, that's all found to say. But you know what would be really interesting for me? They would study your brain activity.
Oh, yes, how busy your brain is. I like that too.
I would
My
love.
sons are going to be very busy.
Yeah. Now,
Yes.
don't think you're the type of woman who goes to bed wearing hair curlers, no?
No.
No, okay. I mean, it's not the most glamorous thing because you're probably hooked up with wires and electrodes and stuff. I mean, it's not
Yes.
terribly, welcoming sort of thing, but
Yes.
there you go. So that's the one thing. Yeah.
Yes.
But what do we normally sleep on?
Well, on a bed.
Well, normally, yes, exactly.
So I'm
Yeah.
guessing this would be like a hospital bed or maybe like a dentist chair.
No. But I mean, somebody has to build these things and somebody has to test them. So
Yes.
if you're short of cash, you could go to a sleep laboratory and say, look, sorry, we've got nothing going and we've measured your brain and it's beyond repair, blah, blah.
Yes.
You could go to a bedding company
Oh.
and you could try to test the mattresses and the pillow. And this would be something for you, luxury linen brands.
Wow.
I once had satin bed linen. It was awful.
Yes.
It was absolutely awful. Anyway, so you get to test all these wonderful mattresses and all the bed linen, etc.
Yes.
And you have to report on comfort, on the support, temperature regulation, your overall experience, which I don't quite know how that works when you're sleeping, because when you get a good night's sleep, you don't actually remember anything. You sort of drop off, and then a
Yes.
couple of hours later, it all you yeah.
Yes.
What you know, I keep chastising you that the other side of this desk here is empty.
If I go for this job, it's still going to be empty.
Well, so you think, because some high-end hotels hire people to test their beds. So what you could do is sort of, try and wing your way up the
Become a
wall.
professional bed tester. What am I
Yeah.
allowed to do? Just sleep? Can I jump on it?
Well, I suppose that would be part and parcel of it. I mean, you know, test the bed to the extreme. I mean, no rules.
Yes.
You know, just.
I saw a post, or I saw, I don't know if it was an article or a video, that said we should move the way that kids move. So doing jumping jacks on the bed, jumping up and down, somersaults, front flips, back flips, all kinds of things. We can test it. I don't know how I'm going to feel the next day, but I'll do it anyway.
I think it's almost like sky jumping, isn't it? You know, if it goes wrong, it might actually be a bit painful.
Yes.
Now, the other thing, I'm not quite sure if this is up your alley. I'm not quite sure, but, you know, quiet waters are deep. You could actually be a professional sleeper in a museum installation or a theater performance or,
oh dear,
or some art exhibition.
Hmm.
You know, like John Lennon and Yoko Ono did their love in at the Amsterdam Hilton back in the 60s, you know, to protest against Vietnam War. So, you know, you could do that. Yeah. You could, you know, show the artwork would be your vulnerability, the intimacy, the human rhythms and all of that, you know, you sleeping there.
I don't think I want everyone to see that.
No. Okay. Well, all right. Well,
but I'll test the beds at the hotel.
So there's actually a serious side to this. And you'd be doing humanity a great service. You'd be doing me a great service because any experience, any reports, any findings that you generate might make me a healthier person.
Yes.
Yeah. So heart disease, obesity, depression, reduced productivity. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you told
sleep
me the other,
apnea.
Exactly. Yeah. You told me the other day, breathe, Frank, breathe.
Yes.
Yeah. I want you to breathe because I was climbing up the walls. Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, mattress companies and hotels, you know, I mean, artists.
Yes.
There's something in there for you. It would be literally a dream job, the second dream job. You've already got a dream, half a dream job. And we're not quite there where you want, but yeah, there you go.
Yes. Sounds like a good idea. It reminds me of the princess and the pea. With all the mattresses and she still felt the pee.
Yeah. Yeah. The audacity of it, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
But there you go. There you go.
Okay. So I have one strange job that I am going to throw at you.
Just one.
Just, yes. I think the skydiving instructor was okay.
Can we state for the record, if the parachute doesn't open, too bad. That was it. That was the mayor. End of story. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's start with a simple question. Do you know what a snake milker is?
That was on my list.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't choose that one. But I know where this is leading to. It has nothing to do with milk.
Yes.
It has to do with the venom of a poisonous snake.
Yes. Yes. And why do they have this job?
This is where I should have looked at this little job a little bit more in detail. I could actually.
Why do they have to extract the venom?
Well, oddly enough, snake venom. Venom.
Thank you. That thing.
Yeah, that liquidy poisonous stuff. Some of it is actually very good for medical purposes, if I'm correct. That if used properly, it can actually cure some strange, weird, wonderful diseases or do something for medicine. I think. I'm not sure though. You're the expert.
So they extract the venom to make antidotes.
That would be logical.
So we have one snake park that I know they do it for a fact. So they have different, very, very venomous snakes. By the way, do you know what is the difference between venomous and poisonous?
No.
Seriously not.
Seriously not.
Oh, wow.
I've never really
Can I
sort of had.
teach you?
Oh, I'm always open to learning.
Okay, so something that's venomous, like a snake bite or a spider bite, they release venom into your body. But something that you eat, like a bad mushroom or bad food, that's poisonous.
I did not know that. I have lived for 64 years and I did not know that.
Yes, I taught you something. And hopefully everyone else who's listening the recording.
We'll be asking questions later. So tomorrow morning at no, we don't actually do, we meet for lunch. You're going to ask me tomorrow, aren't
Yes.
you? So, Frank, do you remember what we were talking about last night? No, I actually did not know that. Seriously, you see, you're working with a stupid man here.
No. No. So
And
there was.
I would like to state for the public record, I have learned a lot from you. I mean,
Oh, thank you.
the venomous and the poisonous is just the tip of the iceberg. But anyway,
Yes.
for the antidote, so tell me about
Yes.
snake milking.
Yes. So they, or this snake facility, they have different kind of snakes because we have very, very venomous snakes in South Africa. We have the green mamba, we have the black mamba, we have the pofadder. I think it does have another name in English. There's something called the wrinkles that is very common in my area, but I haven't seen one in a long time. Touch wood. So for these snakes, my uncle actually made a joke the other day to say if a, I think it was a black mamba, if the black mamba bits you, you have to find the nearest th or bite you, sorry, bite you. You have to find the nearest tree. You lie on your back, you cross your arms and your legs, and you just lie there because it makes it easier for them to put you into the casket.
What a weird sense of humor.
Yes, very weird. Yeah, but where they live, there's a lot of snakes. But anyways, that's beside the point. So they do the snake milking. So they actually capture the snake, they press on its head so the fangs can come out, and they push that into a container. And they use that venom to make antidotes. But if one of these snakes attack you for some strange reason, you need quite a few vials of the antidote to actually get better, or to recover. So I think what they said was with the black mamba, you need about 15 vials of antidote to get the poison out of your system.
Out of your system.
Yes, get it out of your system. Or to recover from this. And then like different, there's a program that we used to watch also. It was also made in Durban. I will check if I can find the name. I think the videos are on YouTube as well. So this man shows you where he goes to catch the snake. So you can call him and you say, listen, I have the snake in my yard. I don't know what it is. Please come and get it. So they go and they catch the snake and they release it back. They make sure that the snake is actually healthy before they release it back, but obviously away from houses and towns. And in this program, he shows you what happens if specific snakes bite you. So some of them causes paralysis. Some of them is like a neurotoxin. Some of them goes for your muscles. So some also goes into your bloodstream. And then it shows you what is your survival rate as well if this happened to you. Yeah,
So,
that's very interesting.
when you were working at that pharmacy,
Yes.
was that something you actually sold over the counter, or
No. No. So the antivenoms are only available at hospitals. So when a snake bites you, obviously you have to stay as calm as you can. Try to lessen your movement. So basically no movement. And then you have to get to the hospital as fast as you can. But if you sometimes you have to phone ahead. In some places, some hospitals, you have to phone ahead to say, listen, I've been bitten by this snake, if you know what snake it was. And then they actually have to get the antivenom from a different hospital because not all hospitals keep the antivenom. So sometimes they will send a helicopter with the antidote. Sometimes some people wait days for the antidote. So that is quite a big problem.
And of course, snakes are not city dwellers, so getting bitten in a snake doesn't happen in the downtown of the CBD of
Yes.
Johannesburg. Yeah,
Yes.
it happens in the bush, and the hospitals aren't just around the corner. So,
Yes.
bit of a problem.
Big problem.
But you said, I mean, the timeline. That was because I was going to ask you though, but the timeline between being bitten by a snake. And if it's not treated, basically you don't survive it. That seems to be quite a different timeline depending
Yes.
on the snake. So my thinking was snake bites. If you're not done within a couple of hours, that's game over.
Find a tree.
Find a tree. Yeah. And then
Yes.
you don't die of a snake, but you get struck by lightning or something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
That would be unfortunate. But there is. What was the cause of death? It was supposed to be a snake bite, but the lightning got there first.
Thousand ways to die.
But what is the you can't even say average, survival time, or I mean Black Mamba, for example, if the thing sort of.
Yes. I don't actually know. That's a good question. See, I don't know everything. But it also depends on the size of the snake, if it was a young snake, if it was an older snake, because young snakes can kind of, oh, they don't have any control. So they will bite into you and they will stay there. They don't have control to actually remove themselves, where an adult snake will bite and release, kind of like to scare you. So it does depend on the amount of venom that you have in your system. So there's a lot of people who has survived these bites because they didn't have a lot of venom, and it also depended on the size of the snake. But if it was a juvenile, they don't know how to control it. So they bite and they release the venom, and that might be the cause of someone dying, because they have way too much venom in their system.
Okay.
The adults can also control the amount of venom they release. So they bite and release and they leave you. But sometimes they attack again. But it also depends, well, if the snake is angry, or did you make it angry, or did you try to catch it, or did it come into your house, or like my grandparents, where they live, they lost a couple of dogs because of black mamba bites. So the snake would go into their yard and the dogs would actually attack it, the snake, and the snake would bite them and they would die.
Okay.
Well, they had a lot of weird creatures in their house before, and my grandfather has a shotgun, which he likes to use on snakes in the house.
In the
So
house.
in the house. So in some rooms you can see the shotgun marks
Well, when he
where
missed, yeah.
he probably killed the snake, but the shotgun, because it has a lot of pellets inside, there's some damage. The bathroom had to be redone because he shot at the toilet, he shot at the basin, he shot at the bath. The
Oh dear.
tiles had to
You
be redone. Yes. Funny.
weren't, not at the time.
Well, my grandmother didn't think it was funny.
I was gonna say, well, you know, what does she say to all of this? I mean, okay.
She got a new bathroom, so I don't think she complained too much.
She's probably hoping for a new kitchen.
I don't think he's ever shot one in the kitchen, though.
Well,
But
steady.
The living room, their bedroom, both the other rooms, the dining room, outside quite a lot. The bathroom took the most shots.
I mean, couldn't she sort of like persuade the animal to kind of would love a new kitchen, you know, motivate the animal to go into? Okay.
Well, they had a, what is it called? A monitor lizard in their bath once.
Oh, really?
But by accident, it climbed through the window and then ended up in the bath and it couldn't get out of the bath. So how they got it out, what they did, I don't know, because those things are a little bit dangerous.
Okay. I've got one here for you.
Okay.
I suppose it has to come with a
warning label.
A warning label. Do not do this at home under any circumstances.
Okay.
Back in the 90s, there was a film. I can't remember what it was, what the title was, but it starred Barbara Streisand and Nick Nolte.
Okay.
And Nick Nolte was an adult after a pretty, pretty messed up childhood. And he goes to see, a psychiatrist, and that role was played by Barbara Streisand. And I think you have to have a little bit of romance in these things. So I think the two actually fell in love and lived happily ever after. Amen.
Yes.
But there's a scene in this in this movie where the father of the character that Nick Nolte played was served dinner.
Okay.
And it was not your standard human fare.
Okay.
But he loved it. He said it was one of the best meals he'd ever had.
Okay.
And it was not cooked. Human fare is the key word. Not your standard human fare.
And it was not cooked.
It might have been cooked, but normally it is not cooked when served. But it might have been cooked for this particular occasion.
I have three things that comes to mind.
Do pray tell me.
So one that I like to scare my son with at the supermarket is a pig's head. They sell them in the supermarkets.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
So that is one. The other one is a sheep's head that you can only find at specific places.
Okay.
And then the other one is, I think it's called Kapacha or Kiopacha or something like that.
Okay, well, you're off. Okay, carry on, but you're way off the mark. It's all processed.
Okay.
It's actually all processed.
All processed.
It's
Polony.
No, it's all processed. And I suppose it is edible, but if somebody were to serve you this food, you would react unfavorably, putting it mildly.
One thing that I wouldn't eat is black pudding.
Okay.
Just the thought of where it comes or what it's made of.
Okay.
Is that closer or not?
You're moving closer. So let's just assume that you get a plate of black pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And you find an escape route, not that you have to eat it, but something else can eat it and might actually enjoy it. Human fare is the key word. I'll give you another clue, and I'll give you another hint to move you in the right direction.
Wait, let me ask you a question before you give a hint.
Okay.
Is it something made that animals should eat?
Yes.
Dog food or cat food?
Right. Dog food.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if it's a dog or a cat.
Okay. A pet food tester or something.
Exactly. A pet food taster. Well
Or
done.
taste it.
Pet food taster.
It
Yeah.
took me a while, but I got there.
Well
Started with
done.
a
And this actually exists. There are people who taste pet food. And the reason for this is that it's not because we like this stuff. I mean, I open, I don't know, two or three cans of cat food a day, and sometimes it smells vile.
Horrible.
Yeah, dog food, I suppose, can't
Not
be,
any better.
yeah. But I mean, you can tell, especially in the summer now. You open a can of pet food,
Yes.
and it starts decomposing quite quickly. And if you sort of have, maybe use half a can, and you serve half a can later, the chances of the cat actually walking away is fair nigh on 100%, because they
Yes.
just don't like it.
Yes.
But that's the only way they're going to say that they don't like the food. They can't actually say, "Well, I'm sorry, this is too salty," or
Yes.
"the texture is too grainy," or something like that. Yeah,
Yes.
and they can't say, "Well, this tastes good," or "the aroma," or "the appearance." They just cannot communicate with us. So somehow,
Yes.
somebody has to do that for these animals,
Yes.
and that is what a pet food taster does. Yeah. So, now tasting. You see, you're going to test your mattress this evening, and you're going to get dreams of
Eating cat food.
food.
Oh, I can just imagine some of the cat food that I've opened in the past with the gelatine and the bits and pieces.
Didn't buy whiskers.
That was whiskers.
Anyway,
Yes.
so how do these people actually check whether the pet food is okay? So first you've got to look at it. Yeah. Does the color look okay? Do the little cubes and the chunks look okay? Is it moist? Is it like, I'm watching. Oh, I'm getting a squeamish look here. A homogeneous uniform there. And then, of course, you have to sniff it. You have to smell it. You stick your nose into it.
Sometimes some of it doesn't smell too bad, but
No?
there's some that's,
Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
when I open a can, I think, oh God, is this really the a freshly opened can? And anyway, so the smell, and apparently, so we are led to believe pets smell more than taste. I mean, how does it?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what it's like in South Africa, but in Europe, you can buy cat food for young, sterilized adult,
Oh,
female,
yes.
sterile.
Dog food, cat food.
I
Yes.
mean, it's mind blowing. And it's like Whiskers and that brand and that brand and that brand and that brand. And the
Yes.
price differences are like, it's bloody cat food, nothing more. Yeah.
They all look the same. They all
They
smell
all
the
the
same.
same. Well, you would not qualify for this job for the simple reason
No.
that you wouldn't
No.
have the nasal, and now it gets really good. So you look at it, and you smell it, and then you have to taste it,
Know.
and you have to and you have to put some of it in your mouth, and you have to chew it. It could be dry kibbles, it could be wet food,
I think I okay.
to assess the mouth feel and the flavor profile. But you do not swallow it. Therein, so when you go for a wine tasting, a professional, because they taste so much. Yeah.
You know, well, let's just say in South Africa, you swallow everything.
Well,
we are not professional wine tasters.
Well, a professional wine taster will sip and spit. Yeah, so they have this little bucket, and then they spit the stuff in, and then they eat something, and that's how they manage to survive it. Yeah, and a pet food taster will do the same. Yeah, so they compare the textures, and you know, what's this, is like a pate or some. And then they just, you know, chew it, and then they spit it out. Yeah. And, you know, so it's also, you know, the nutritional part. It's really important. Yeah.
I would like to know why they don't swallow it. Are they afraid of whatever's in the food?
I don't think they're going to take the finest beef cuts for cat food.
No, definitely not.
But
then
know.
also another interesting thing, they test or they taste, no, test was the word. They test the texture. But if you compare our tongues to a cat's tongue, it's completely different.
Yeah. I mean,
the same with the taste buds. So some articles that I read says that dogs can't taste sugar, cats can't taste sugar, but why do they still like to eat sweet things?
Oh, yeah. And butter. I mean, our cats love eating butter.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and the dogs, now if we have biltong or if we have leftover sausage or something, they like that. My dog, shame, he's 10 years old now, but he likes the smell of rice. And he would beg for rice until I give him a scoop of rice to eat, and then he's happy. Where the other one, he just wants meat. So I think that, I don't know if that can be very accurate. That's just my opinion. But they are very different to us.
Yeah. I mean, what I always find fascinating about animals and about, you know, domestic animals in particular.
Yes.
They don't go to school.
Yes.
Yeah, they get born, and they instinctively know what to do.
Yes.
There's no formal education. They don't go to cat school or dogs. Yes, okay, they go to dogs. Dogs go to dog training to
you know. Yes, to, or manners.
Yeah. I have never sent any of our four cats to any formal education classes. I mean, the youngest one, Uno, he could certainly do with a bit of education, but I think he's beyond repair. But they know what to do. Uno at the moment, he brings a mouse home almost every morning, and he has nothing better to do than to bring it into the office here and start eating this damn thing. And he's, you know, crunch, crunch.
Crunchy, crunchy.
Yeah. I witnessed this with Sablé, our senior cat, number one cat. We've got this hill behind the house, and you go up, and there's the vineyards, and we've seen all of that. And he sat there on the side of the lane, and he was staring intently into the ditch. And then sort of almost like a kangaroo, he jumps into the ditch, jumps out, and has a mouse. And 5 minutes later, you would have never known that that mouse had existed. There was nothing left of it. It was like completely gone.
Yes.
Like, this mouse was never there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we digress. So so why do people become pet food tasters? Well, they're food scientists. They live they work in laboratories. They're developing new recipes for major food, pet food brands. So, okay, whatever. The pay is
much do they get paid?
not that well. It's the way you look at it. I mean, between 30 and 55,000 a year, which, yeah.
Depends on where you live, I guess.
Well, yeah, and I suppose, you know, what hobbies you have.
Yes.
You know, if you have pets, it might be a little bit. I suppose you get free pet food. That would be good. I mean,
Would be good.
we spend a fortune on pet food a month.
Yes.
And you don't even get a thank you.
Although
So
they don't eat it because nope, not today.
no, and then you throw it away, and you think, oh, that's just another, you know, another pile of money just gone down the drain.
Yes.
So 30 to 55,000 a year in euros. Yeah.
I don't know.
I suppose if a husband and wife would do it, it's 110 grand. I mean, that might just about do something, but no. I mean, could you imagine,
That's
you know,
disgusting.
what's for dinner tonight, darling? Well, I think we'd open this can of, you know, with
Ew, no.
there we are. So pet food taster. There you go.
Okay. Very interesting, but no, thank you.
Not your cup of tea.
No. Kind of reminds me of a story that my sister told me this weekend. I actually saw her this weekend.
Oh.
Yes, she came to visit my parents. But then she said that so her boyfriend's dad has a cat, but the cat was like 20 years old, so the cat couldn't move around, couldn't see, couldn't hear. And then he told them that, listen, this is time. You have to put the cat to sleep. And because they've been extending it for a long time. So eventually they took the cat to the vet, and then my sister got the leftover cat food. So when she got the food, she explained to her two cats that this cat died and the food was given to you, so you please ha you have to eat it because this kitten, she called it a kitten, this kitten is no longer here. So her female cat refused to eat it, and the male cat went outside and caught a pigeon and put the ki pigeon in the bowl instead of the
That's
food. So
protest and a
she's
half.
Yes, she still has the cat food. They don't want to eat it. He went to catch dinner outside. So
I mean,
I
I'm
think
always,
they choose what they want to eat.
yeah, exactly. And I mean, the chief nap officer, she's not doing very well. She's got sort of an infection on her nose, and sort of the nose is
Yes.
sort of like rotting away, and she's had about 2 rounds of antibiotics. It's not doing well. A couple of years ago, she came home with a rabbit. Yeah, it was like really, really weird. And you're frozen. Are you back again?
Yes, you were frozen on my side too.
Oh, okay. Maybe someone's telling us to do. Anyway, so I don't know if you got that. So our cat, number two cat, the chief nap officer, she came home with a rabbit.
Oh,
Went up.
wow.
Came in through the back garage, through the back door, and up the stairs, and dropped it on the half landing between the first and the ground and the first floor. And I mean, how do you dispose of a rabbit? I mean, we managed to separate the two. The rabbit was long gone.
Yes.
Yeah. But you sort of left with this, you know, well, this is dead animal here.
In the farm.
Well, it's we
Or
didn't have,
rabbit pie.
well, you don't know where the rabbit was. Yeah.
Okay.
You
It,
know,
maybe it has been dead for a couple of days.
you don't know these
You don't
sort of
know.
things. Yeah. And I'm not, you
Okay.
know,
Pie is
and
not a good idea.
no, you might
A
have
little
to
grave.
go. Exactly, a little grave. Yeah, dig, dig, dig. Anyway, so that was my. Do you have one more, or are we going to call it a day?
No, I think let's call it I think let's call it a day.
Okay, so to be continued, because I've got some other really weird and wonderful drops here.
Also have a few.
So, this was good. I'm glad we did this.
Yes, a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Somebody's going outside, right? Well, thank you for this.
It's a pleasure. Thank
I think
you for joining.
I think the only thing that was missing was a glass of wine and maybe a more comfortable chair, and this would have been sort of like a very pleasant evening to spend and have a nice talk about life, the universe, and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to learn new things about different jobs.
Yes, lemon and poison. Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah.
minimum poison.
So, but thank you for saying that your dream job is being a Fruit Loop and breeder. We'll get you there.
Oh,
You're not
it
quite, but
is quite.
you're not quite
Well,
there.
it's getting there.
It's getting there. Yeah. We'll have to
Yes.
twist a few arms and beat a few people to.
Shake a few pockets.
Exactly, but we'll get there.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I
You're
really had
welcome.
fun. I hope you did too.
Oh, it's
Had a
great.
quite a few laughs.
I look
We
forward to
should,
listening. Yes,
yes.
you
We should do
should.
it again sometime.
Oh, definitely. How about next Wednesday?
Yes, sure.
But we've got some rather serious sounding topics. I hope we're. Because
They do
I
sound serious, but you know that I add my Fruit Loopy twist to them. So, in a way, they will be a bit serious. I will teach you something if I can, and
Oh,
then we'll do some
definitely.
fun questions.
Good, definitely. I actually managed to put the meetings into Breeder this afternoon. They are in the events part of Breeder.
Oh, wow. Yay.
Taken way over schedule, and I was putting them all in and doing everything. I did the events list for October. I think we've got to start thinking about October events, and we're not even in September yet. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. But
But I have the ideas. I sent them to you. We can expand on them next
yes,
month.
exactly.
Yes.
Sounds very philosophical. Which is good for winter evenings here in Europe. Yeah. Nice glass of
Yes.
mulled wine, a nice warm house fire crackling in the side there, and then talking about life and these serious things and why are we here? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What is the purpose? Yeah. Okay. I'm gassing on.
Definitely not being a pet food tester.
No. All right.
Okay.
See you for lunch tomorrow.
Yes, for lunch tomorrow.
Crème brûlée tonight, lunch tomorrow. And yes, you were going to say
Yes.
something.
Creative day, your best creative day topic
Oh,
for tomorrow. Just a
oh.
reminder.
How could I forget?
You were prepared for it last week, so I think you're still prepared for tomorrow.
Oh, worse. Worse. I think I'm over-prepared.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe not. It depends if I throw a curveball
Well, I expect nothing less.
at
I expect them in stereo, one from the right and one from the left. You know, boom, boom. What
Okay.
was that? Oh, that was just Fruit Loops curveballs. I mean, what are you worried about? They're normal. Yeah.
Yes.
No, life wouldn't be the same without a Fruit Loop curveball. I live for them, especially for lunch. Yeah. What did you have
Yes.
for lunch? I had a curveball. Really?
Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops. Okay. What are they? Well, it's just like surprise. You know, they just come as a surprise and you get hit by it and then you are totally dazed and in a beautiful place. Oh, can I have one? No.
If you pay, you can have one.
Exactly. Yeah. Very, very expensive.
Beat them into submission, remember.
And then you kill them with kindness. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Have a lovely evening.
I will. Well, it's not much left of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Cup of tea, and then I'm going to do some sleep testing now. Yeah,
Okay. Test the bed, test the sleep.
exactly. And I'll tell
You
you about
have
it.
your heart rate monitor, your brain monitor.
I don't have a brain. Did you not ever realize that?
Okay. That makes it easier to go to sleep. Anyways, I'm going to stop
Was.
the
You guys.
recording. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.